This morning, we're actually beginning a five-week series of messages that will help us find, my hope is it will help us find, at least, spiritual encouragement in unlikely places. The series is going to focus, every message will be rooted in Scripture, as always, a Bible passage, but the main, illustration through each sermon will be focusing on a popular song from the last several decades that have a meaning or a theme that aligns with a Scripture passage. So some of you may recall that a little over a year ago, 15, 16 months ago, we did a series called What Might Jesus Say To? And then we filled in the end of that sentence with a different person or group each week. So what might Jesus say to Bill Gates or the Beatles or Taylor Swift? And that was what we did. And so this one is a little bit different. This is what might Jesus say through somebody along those lines. So in this case, what might Jesus say through, and here's the groups we're going to be looking at. The Rolling Stones, the Eagles, the Steve Miller Band, the Who, and today we're starting with Pearl Jam. And if you're country music fans, you didn't expect anything different, did you? I wasn't going to go there. It says, I don't know country music, and I didn't want to do that much research. So I'm going with artists that I'm familiar with from my own college days and later in life, too. So these are bands that have all kind of impacted me or been a part of my musical journey over the years. And I do promise that today will be an Easter message. If you're here and you're like, what on earth have I gotten myself into? Just trust me on this, okay? I think that if you've been here for the last dozen years with me as pastor, you know this will most likely go well. Sometimes Pastor Brian is too crazy and it doesn't go well, but usually it goes well and it's going to be all right. That's what we're doing. On the surface, this might cause you to wonder, does this have anything to do with my faith? What does secular music have to do with my faith? And the answer, quite frankly, when it comes to this series, is everything. Our vision here at Rose Hill Church is to lead people toward Jesus where we live, work, and play. And that means starting with our own discipleship, our own walk with Jesus as well. So we need to be led towards Jesus and equipped to do so in those places as well, where we live, where we work, and where we play. And while there's a lot in the world that is challenging to our faith, and Randy, I think that's the first slide if you're lost on where you are on the sermon. Nope, okay, something happened. While there's a lot in the world that is challenging to our faith, and quite frankly, isn't very redeemable for our faith, that's why there's no rap songs in this series. That's a tough one to go with. Some of it is. There is music with lyrics that can be redeemable and is encouraging for us in our faith as believers. And it wouldn't have to just be music. You could do this with movies or television shows, different other kinds of art forms like dance or painting or poetry or whatever. And not everything in those different disciplines, but in some places you can. So we're going to start with Scripture, though. Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. All four gospel writers speak of Jesus' resurrection. It's a theme throughout the rest of the New Testament from other writers as well, of course. This is Luke's accounting of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. So, Heavenly Father, today speak to us through this passage and through the event of Jesus' resurrection, and just open our eyes up, Lord, to it and what it means for us in our lives today and beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we will reconnect with that scripture passage here in a moment. I want to start in a completely opposite direction, at least it might seem that way, and that's with a little Pearl Jam history. Out of curiosity, how many Pearl Jam fans in the audience? I mean, don't be afraid if you are. I know there's at least a few, but there's a lot of you who aren't. You're probably wondering, who are they? So it's a Seattle band. They started here in Seattle, which you should at least know that much, even if you aren't a fan, in 1990. Over the last 35 years, they have released 12 studio albums and have sold about 85 million copies of those albums worldwide. Their first album, 10, has sold, almost 16 million copies. It was released on August 27th, 1991. And 6.5 years later, on February 3rd, 1998, they released their fifth album titled Yield. There's the cover of it right there. My son, JD, he's 7 years old. He looked at that this week when I had the CD cover out, or a couple weeks ago, I guess. And he said, Dad, what's that sign? And I told him what a yield sign is and what it means. He said, why is it there? There's no other roads. It's a good question. There's probably a sermon right there, actually, too. But there you go. So that's the cover of it. I still remember getting my copy of this CD. My wife and I had gotten married 5 months earlier in September of 1997. 2.5 months after that, we moved to Seoul, South Korea, to teach English as a second language. We moved away from the Seattle area where all of our friends and family were, literally like 3 days before our very first Christmas as a married couple. We celebrated our first Christmas as a married couple in a foreign country. We didn't know the language. We're 11 time zones away from everyone. We left all of our belongings at home except for the clothes we took with us. So my CD collection, which was like 400 or so at the time, that got left behind. No music. That was a major bummer for me. And this is before phones, like, keeping your music, right? There's no Spotify, no Amazon Music. We left our dog, Ruth, beautiful chocolate lab, stayed with my sister to begin with, and then my mother-in-law for a while as well. All that was left behind. So it was a challenging time. It was an adventure. It was kind of a challenge for us as well. And when Yield was released in early February, I was finally able to get my hands on some American music that I knew I would like. And it was like comfort food for me. It was like a bit of home had now crossed the Pacific and was with me and in my ears. 27 years later, I still have that CD with all the packaging. It even has Korean writing in the back of it because I bought it in Seoul. I still can't read that writing, but still got it at home. Had it out a couple weeks ago. So I've always found it to be an encouraging album by and large. But one song stands out, especially in regards to the Christian faith, and the song is called Given to Fly. I love this song. Eddie Vedder is the lead singer of the band and lead singer for this song. He's the lyric writer for this song, as he is for most of them. To the best of knowledge publicly, he's not a Christian. None of the band members are, okay, as far as we know. But you could probably do like a 10-week series on the gospel according to Pearl Jam, because there's so much that lines up with Scripture. A lot of biblical references and themes like sin and being saved and stuff like that in their music. But as far as I know, as far as we know publicly, none of them are believers. And specifically in regard to this song, as far as we know, there's no intent to convey Christian beliefs or theology or have a lyrical analogy of the life of Jesus Christ. But God works in mysterious ways. Amen? Amen? Amen. And you can point to the resurrection to begin with. Like, the women went to the tomb with spices to care for Jesus' body. They were not expecting this. God works in mysterious ways. Additionally, if God can use the cross, which was the Roman government's choice instrument for capital punishment, so as secular as it gets, as evil as it gets, if God can use that to heal us spiritually and bring us into relationship with our Creator, then certainly God can use a much less insidious item like a secular song to touch us spiritually as well. So what I want to do over the next few minutes is actually read the lyrics and share some biblical insights, connections on parts of the song, especially the second half. I'm going to read the first half of the lyrics, and then the second half will kind of slow down and compare it to what Scripture says. So it begins with some poetic language, first of all. I'll just explain it briefly. Of a guy who's struggling in life, kind of a dead end in life, heads in a new direction, ends up having like a transformative experience, kind of in a poetic kind of way it's expressed, and then the song continues after that. So here's the beginning, how the song starts, and we'll actually listen to it in a little bit here. He could have tuned in, but he tuned out. A bad time, nothing could save him. Alone in a corridor, waiting, locked out. He got up out of there, ran for hundreds of miles. He made it to the ocean, had a smoke in a tree. It's a secular song, like I said, right? The wind rose up, set him down on his knee. A wave came crashing like a fist to the jaw, delivered him wings. Hey, look at me now. Arms wide open with the sea as his floor. Oh, power, oh, he's flying whole. So that's like the first half of the song. Then we get to the second half of the song with these lyrics starting to begin with. He floated back down because he wanted to share his key to the locks on the chains he saw everywhere. Now, Jesus didn't float down to earth. It was embodied as a human being. He left heaven, left eternity, became a human. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. We started with that at the beginning of our first song this morning. I don't know, if you weren't paying very close attention, you might be like, are we singing a Christmas song? The song is the story of Jesus and the birth of the church. That's what that very first song was all about. So Jesus steps out of eternity into flesh, and he himself is the key that sets us free from the chains that are everywhere. Romans 8 verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. In John 8, 36, Jesus himself says, who the Son sets free, and he's speaking of himself here, who the Son sets free is free indeed. At Jesus' final Passover meal, his last meal that he ate, he took the bread. It was part of the Passover meal, the cup of wine that was a part of it as well. These are symbols of the Jewish exodus from slavery in Egypt. So these are symbols of freedom. They've been doing this for 1,600 years. So Jesus takes these ancient symbols. I mean, the bread that he used wasn't 1,600 years old, and the wine wasn't. But they've been doing this for 1,600 years or so at this point. And Jesus takes these symbols of freedom. He says, this bread is my body broken for you. This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood shed for you. So he's taking these symbols, and now he's appropriating them to himself. And he's saying, I am the one who sets you free. These symbolize me. I'm the one who frees you up. So he is the key to the locks on the chains of sin that are everywhere. We all struggle with it. Everyone struggles with sin. Whether you like the word or not, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you do. All right, continuing on in the song. But first he was stripped, and then he was stabbed by faceless men. Well, and then this line continues on. But before we get there, outside of the Apostles' Creed, those words right there are about as concise of a synopsis of the gospel's account of Jesus' death as you're going to find. Again, he didn't intend it that way. But this is the beauty of art and music. Like, you get to interpret things. Their own songs, the band has talked about the song they have called Alive. That was one of their first early hits. And how it's taken on a whole new meaning for them as they've aged. You know, they're like in their 60s now. And it's changed meaning for them even though the words haven't changed. So that's a pretty concise synopsis of Jesus' death. John 19:23 says, when the soldiers crucified him, they took his clothes. So he was stripped. John 19:34, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear. So not as he crucified between the wrists and the ankles, but also pierced in the side. The guards or the soldiers, we could call them faceless. None of them are named. We don't get a name of any of them. They take his clothes. They crucify him. They drive a spear through his side. It's a pretty easy connection to the lyric. Then comes the kicker at the end of that line. So we'll repeat the first part. But first he was stripped, and then he was stabbed by faceless men. Well, He still stands. He still stands. This was the message at the empty tomb for the women when they went there expecting to provide post-death care, as was their custom, for Jesus' body. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. He has risen. This is why the gospel message didn't fade to black. This is why there is such a thing as Christianity, this global religion. This is why there is a thing we know as the church. This is why we exist as a church here at Rose Hill. This is why you're here today. This is why you're here. I mean, maybe some of you are here just because you heard Pearl Jam was going to be a part of the message. Maybe some of you are here just because your kids wanted an Easter egg hunt, or your grandkids. But guess what? An egg hunt is not on the docket if it weren't for the resurrection. We aren't comparing lyrics of a song from a secular band to this faith if the faith doesn't exist, and it only exists because Jesus was resurrected. It is the linchpin of the Christian faith. Those first disciples wouldn't have proclaimed with all their might that Jesus was crucified for our sins if he had not been raised from the dead. It would have faded away. Because everyone else faded away that tried to start a movement. The Bible tells us that the first days after his death, in those first few days, the followers of Jesus hid and huddled up. That's what his disciples did. They went back actually to where they had had that final Passover meal. Their dreams of what they thought the Messiah was about were shattered. And because of their association with him, they were afraid for their own possible deaths, like what their future might be. We see that in Peter, when Jesus is going through his so-called trial, and Peter denies even knowing him 3 different times. Like, he doesn't want to be associated with him right now. And that continued as he was crucified, and then afterwards in those first day or so. And yet they come out from hiding once the women come to them with this news of Jesus being alive, that the tomb is empty, and there are guards stationed by there, so that there wouldn't be any like body stealing going on. And then when they come back with this message, and the women are the first proclaimers of the gospel, right? They're the first ones to proclaim that Jesus is alive. So they come back, tell the guys, and some of them, we see Peter here in Luke's account, and John, there's a couple of them, he says, went, go to see for themselves what's going on. They didn't trust what was being told to them. It seemed like nonsense, as we read just a moment ago. And they discover that indeed, he's not there. The tomb is empty. He is risen. And they believe this, that he was alive, and Jesus showed himself to them later, and to countless others after that. They proclaimed that he was alive, not just that the tomb was empty, but that he was alive, that he was resurrected. They proclaimed that all the way to their death. In fact, they went to their death because of their proclamation for it. If it had been fake news, they wouldn't have died for that. If they knew it was bogus, like, people don't die for something they know is not to be true. You fess up. You fess up. They went to their deaths because of their faith. He still stands. Then the song finishes with this line. And he still gives his love. He just gives it away. The love he receives is the love that is saved. And sometimes is seen a strange spot in the sky, a human being that was given to fly. High, flying, oh, oh, high, flying, oh, oh, he's flying, oh, oh. Those O's sound a lot better when they're sung than when they're said in front of like 250 people, however many are here this morning. Just wait, you'll hear it in a minute, like I said. It sounds better than I make it. So the part about a strange spot in the sky, a human being that was given to fly, sounds like Jesus' ascension, his return to eternity, to his heavenly Father after 40 days after his resurrection. So there are about 40 days where he appeared to other folks, as I said a moment ago. But the lines about giving away his love, and the love he receives is the love that is saved, they are parallel to the unmerited, unearned grace of God. That he loves us. That he loves you. Jesus freely gave his life away, the ultimate act of love. And then those that love him back, the one where he receives, to use the word that in the song, the love that is received, when Jesus receives our love back, when we place our faith in him and trust in him and seek to live as Jesus did, those are the ones who are saved. That's where salvation comes from. Scripture tells us this over and over. We don't need Pearl Jam song to say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's Jesus' words himself. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 from the Apostle Paul. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's not something you can purchase. It's not something you can earn. You can't do enough to be saved. 85 million album sales, doesn't matter. Successfully running your own business, doesn't matter. College degrees, don't matter. Obeying yield signs when they're actually appropriately there, and there are other roads and there's traffic there that has the right of way, that's great. Come to a full stop at the stop sign, you don't do the California stop, great. All good stuff to do, ain't gonna save you. Not earning your way to heaven. Now, our first source of encouragement as believers, our first source of encouragement as in our journey of faith, as disciples of Jesus, our first source is Scripture, for sure. Okay? This is not putting a secular song above the Bible. So don't come away with that today. Our first source is Scripture. Our second, then, really, is then the church. People who are a part of the community who encourage us in our faith as well. And we have the opportunity to encourage them and serve them and bless them. So we need God's word and we need God's people in our lives to stay on the path of faith. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor and theologian in Germany. He opposed the Hitler regime. He was put in solitary confinement. He was executed just a handful of days before World War II ended. And in solitary confinement, he learned what it means to try to be a Christian without that community. And he says, there's no such thing as a solitary Christian. We need each other. You need other believers in your life if you're going to stay on the path of following Jesus. But we also don't live in a Christian bubble. If you're a believer of Jesus and you're part of the Rose Hill Church family, we don't all gather here every day and just hang out together. We all live our lives out in the world in, secular jobs. I teach band, right, in the elementary school. I understand it. I get it. You work wherever you work. You are engaged with your neighbors. You're at the coffee shops, wherever you might be. We are all in these places. We are sent there even. Jesus sends us out into the world where we are to exhibit the kingdom of God. So we don't live in a bubble. And in that real world, in spite of Scripture and the church being our first two sources of encouragement and keeping us on the path of following Jesus, even out in the secular world, there are things like the song like this one that can encourage us in our faith. And I think it helps to look for those things for our own encouragement and just to start up a conversation with somebody. What do you think about this song? What's being sung? What's said? What about this painting? What's being communicated? What about this poem? Have you seen this episode of this TV show where they talk about this? What are your thoughts? Like, they open up doors to conversation because the world is watching and listening and seeing those things, not usually the Bible. So let's start with where they are. And at the same time, it can encourage us as well. Now, in the original recording of this song, and usually when they sing it live, and my wife and I did go to their concert last May in support of their most recent album, and they sang the song, and they don't sing it super often, actually, at their concert, so I felt really blessed. There's one word that would normally prevent me from playing the song in church, because it's a bad word. But there's a recording of it they did in the studio where they got filmed, and that word is not sung. So I'm very grateful for that. So this is Given to Fly. We're going to watch it. It's a little under 4 minutes long. The lyrics to the song will be on the screen. My daughter's twin friends, Lily and Charlotte Moskowitz, did the work for me for putting the lyrics up. So I can't take credit for that, but I'm really grateful for the work they put into it. So watch this, Given to Fly. By
still give your love, just give it away. I love seeing that part. Could have turned into man, but he turned out
So, you know, if you're not familiar with it, you can hear how it's got this musical, like, soaring thing that really supports the lyrics, right? It adds to the hopeful message of being saved by this unnamed person in the song through his love. But I would suggest to you that that person actually has a name, and his name is Jesus. That saving work through the means of love is exactly what Jesus does from his birth to his life to his death and his resurrection that we celebrate today. Jesus is the key that unlocks the chains of sin that hold us down and is everywhere. He still gives his love away because he still stands. He was given to fly. He is risen. It's an incredible message of hope and freedom and eternal life rooted not in a fictional song, but in the historical, real person of Jesus Christ. From his birth to his life to his death to his resurrection. And that saving love and assurance of eternity are yours when you say yes to him, when he receives your love. If you have never said yes to Jesus, if loving him is something that's new, if his love for you is new to you, and you're interested in responding, honestly, there's no time like the present. There's no time like the present. His love that saves is still being given away, and he offers it to you. You can love him back so he receives your love and you would be saved. What a day on Easter 2025 to say yes to this freeing and saving love that Jesus offers. For those of you who have already said yes, which is probably most of us in the room, let's keep following Jesus closely, keep loving him, keep receiving his love, the forgiveness, confession that we need to do for him, the forgiveness that comes as a result, all of that. Keep living like Jesus everywhere you are, right? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We don't always do a good job of living that way, but that's how God calls us to. We're sent out into the world to exhibit the kingdom and to live with that, those kinds of things marking who we are. Keep reading his word. Keep being encouraged by the church. Keep encouraging others who are in the church. But you know, maybe God will surprise you with a word of encouragement in your faith through a song, maybe like this, maybe something else that you listen to. Just like those women who went to the tomb were surprised to find that he still stands. Because he is risen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this truth that we get to celebrate today. For the hope that it gives us of eternal life. For how it validates Jesus' life, his ministry, his death, and what it means for us. God, thank you for this gift. It really is a gift. We have done nothing to earn it, nothing to deserve it. Just the opposite. So frequently we have turned our backs on you, act like you don't exist, believe you don't exist, whatever it may be, Lord, and yet you still have done this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, God, for that truth. Thank you for Jesus' resurrection that backs it up, that validates it. For the proclamation of that by those first disciples, the birth of the church that led to us being here today. Thank you, God, for this gift. Lord, we desire to receive it. Some of us do. Many of us here already have. And so we simply say yes to receive that truth into our lives today and to follow you more wholeheartedly than we have before. Help us to live for you each and every day because Jesus is alive. He still stands. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, and all the church said together, amen.